Good evening, everybody. This Shabbos is going to be Parshas Devarim and what we call Shabbat Chazon, Shabbos Chazon. I don't know why exactly, even though I don't pronounce Shabbos as Shabbat, but every time I say Shabbat Chazon, it's hard for me to say Shabbos Chazon. I have a very easy time saying Shabbos Nachamu, but it's more natural for me to say Shabbat Chazon.
Explain it.
Anyone wants to explain that to me, let me know, but that is my...
You were in Israel.
I don't know. I feel like whatever it is, it is. Okay, so let's get to it. The Shulchan Aruch rules, as we learned last Shabbos, actually. I love this line of the Chafetz Chaim, this Biur Halacha. But in the Shulchan Aruch, it is Paskin. Ula Olam Korin Parshas Bamidbar Sinai Kodem Atzeres. So you have to lay in Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos. And also Tisha B'Av Kodem...
I don't know why he does that language that way, but that's correct. So the
Biur Halacha explains what does that mean, that Tisha B'Av kodem va'ata'am. Here's the Biur Halacha's explanation. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Kedei sheyikru ba b'parshas devarim, shehi mitochachosav shel Moshe kodem tishba. Right, so that's why I got confused, because I was thinking about this line. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch just says we want to have tishba before Veschanan, but the Biur Halacha's explanation is that it's more about having parshas devarim be an introduction to tishba, i.e., in order to properly get to tishba, we first need a parshas devarim. Why? Here's the line. Kidei lahaftir ba bechazon. Shehi tochachos yishayahu al churban. We know that this is a special Shabbos. We're going to hear tochacha rebuke Musar from Yishayahu Navi about the impending churban beis hamikdash. We don't do tshuva, etc. My understanding of this line of the Chafetz Chaim is the following. Every haftorah needs to be related to the Torah reading. So we need a proper Torah reading to fit with this Haftorah. What is the most appropriate Torah reading to fit with Yeshayahu's Musar? Moshe Rabbeinu's Musar. So we specifically have Parshas Devarim, i.e. a Musar Shmuz for Moshe Rabbeinu, as a segue to Yeshayahu's Musar Shmuz for the Haftorah. So apparently the goal of this Shabbos is to receive Tochacha, to receive real chilling advice for Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu Navi to improve our ways. And we know the Torah says, Eila hadvarim asher dibur Moshe al kol Yisrael, etc. So these are the words in quotation marks. So what are these words? So Rashi explains, Lefi shehein divrei tochacha u'mana kan kol tochachos. So these are tochachos, and Moshe is going to list all the various places throughout the 40 years in the desert that they made Hashem upset with him. So lefichach sasam es hadvarim v'hizkirim beremez ipnei kvodan shel Yisrael. So whereas the truth is, the Torah could have said, Moshe says, you guys messed up over here, you guys messed up over there. Like we find in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, right, where Klal Yisrael tested Hashem so many times, 10 times, right, they tested Hashem. And as opposed to being more explicit, what does the Torah do? It's a euphemism, right? There's a hint that we don't want to make Klal Yisrael feel degraded, feel insulted. So the insults are merely alluded to. But between the lines, we are certainly supposed to receive the message that we messed up. And I think, you know, before we segue into the more practical sugya for Erev Tisha B'Av, the first point of this evening shiur is that this Shabbos is supposed to kind of break us up, break us in a little bit. Musar is supposed to be very humbling. And it's not enough to just read the Parsha as it's a Parsha. No, this is an emotional experience. It's supposed to really settle in. And every part of the Torah is supposed to make a roshim, but even more, Parshas Devarim, it's like a real musher shmooze, and you have more of the chassidim, they'll speak about the significance of all the Sefer Devarim, like a real musher shmooze from Moshe Rabbeinu, and the whole nature of Sefer Devarim as it is more intimate with Moshe's own words, etc. But it's our job to internalize teachings, practical, ethical teachings, as a means to do tshuva this Shabbos. That is our job. And while we're on the topic, it's important to note that that's always our job. It's actually a daily obligation. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva, the next source. He writes, Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the most famous Musar works ever written, everyone should have some form of diary type work. Wow. You should record on a piece of paper all of the things that you did incorrectly.
It's easier to write what I did right.
And you should even write the mitzvahs that you did but didn't do right enough. So AB thinks that his sefer would be long. Beg to differ. AB shouldn't be so hard on himself. But velikro b'sefer zichronosam b'cholim, and read it every single day. Now that is a classic European muster there, right? Imagine writing such a thing. All of the averus you did and all of the mitzvahs that you could have done better, and then you read it back from nighttime reading. It reminds me of a story where Rav Nevinzal Shlita, Rav Isaac Sher, Rav Yitzchak Sher, I don't know, I forget his history a little bit, but it was a story. He was a Talmud of Rav Baruch Ber, he was a Chavrusa of Rav Baruch Ber. And one of Rav Nevinzal's Sichot on the Parsha, he has this story where, Talmide Rav Chaim Brisker didn't learn Musar. Rav Chaim Shita was that it was better for Yeshiva Bachrim to just learn Torah, and Torah itself, the Sugyas, the Gemara, will naturally refine you, as opposed to the Musar movement, the formal study of Musar and ethics. And I forget the whole story, but apparently Rav Isaac Sher was convinced to learn a little bit of Musar, and he learned some of Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, and he couldn't sleep the whole night because it shook him up. So when you speak about these Svarim, when they're learned in their most real, raw sense, there's a concept of learning Musar. There's a concept of being extremely humbled by Musar. And that is a little bit of what we're supposed to do. Obviously, Tisha B'Av is a sobering experience. It's not just a walk in the park where that was your fast, how are the Kinos explanations, like a show, you go to the matinee, you go to the late show, how do Rabbi Mandelstam do, no? It's supposed to be a chilling emotional roller coaster. So that was that's the Shari Tshuva's line about Musar in general. And Mishnah Berurah himself in Siman Aleph, the very first Siman of Shulchan Aruch, Paskins, V'tzarech ha'adam l'kvah lo eish l'mot sifrei Musar b'chol yom v'yom. Every single day you should have a Musar sefer. Im ma'at v'im harbe, whether it's a little bit or a lot, you don't have to have an hour Musar sefer. You don't even have to have a 20-minute Musar sefer. A little bit, a lot. Ki ha'gadol mechaveru yitzro gadol himenu. The greater you become, the greater your Yetzirah becomes. Your Yetzirah grows with you. V'tavlin ha'Yetzirah hu tochachas maimrei chazal. So he's saying the Gemara in Kedushim of Basra, which says that the antidote to the Yetzirah is Torah. It's not any Torah. It's specifically the Torah that speaks of Musar. That's a big chiddush, right? You could have argued against that, like Rav Chaim said, no. The Torah inherently. The Torah says Baratzi Yetzirah.
Bring the Yetzirah to the basement.
Yeah, exactly. So the Yechapa Maimar Yechazal, which clearly indicate that Torah is the absolute response to the Yetzirah, and that could be Rav Shimon Shkup's Lamdas on a Rambam. It doesn't need to be Musar, but that's the way it's being interpreted here. Okay, so with this background, we've learned a little bit of a quote-unquote Parsha, where there is a goal of the Parsha, and it's alluding to the Musar Moshe was given Klai Yisrael, and so too we should learn the Musar of the Shabbos as an introduction to Tisha B'Av, and every day we should be working on ourselves. So that's a little bit of a halachic aside of the importance of learning Musar in general. I know at least for me, Musar has done a lot for me. Before I got into Gemara, I got into learning Musar. It was an exciting link. A lot of boys in high school in particular, they appreciate learning more of the Musar Sfarim before they appreciate learning halacha or Gemara. And they always have to be growing. It's always important to be working on oneself. And, that's that part of our Masorah, a big part of Masorah. And just to conclude this part of the shiur, I once asked Rav Shechter Shlita in a question and answer session on a Friday night in YU, when I was there for Shabbos once, said, does Rebbe think there is value in learning Musar? And he said, certainly, how do I know, says Rav Shechter, because all the Rishonim wrote Sifrei Musar. He said, clearly it's Kedai. If the Rishonim took the time to write Sifrei Musar, that means it's something that is rather Kedai. So that was his response without beating an eyelash. And that's our Masorah. That Sifrei Musar is certainly part of our Masorah. And that's Rav Shechter, is a Talmud Muvok of the Rav, coming from Rav Chaim Brisker's Masorah. So, you know, the classic Masorah of not learning Musar, seemingly, you know, not at all mainstream anymore. But then Musar in religion. And this is like part of the yeshiva structure. There's Musar said. Okay, so here we go. Let's get to it. So now let's try to figure out what to do this Shabbos. So now we know that the point of Sefer Devarim's beginning the Shabbos is to kind of sober us up to Tisha B'Av. This speaks to the awkward nature of this Shabbos. It's a regular Shabbos, yet it's also Shabbat Chazon. And we want to speak right now about the very practical transition from Shabbos to Tisha B'Av. Some very awkward moments there, especially after sunset, before Tisha B'Av really begins. And by nightfall, we're going to have a unique pair of shoes on, and we're going to be fasting. Yeah, just a half hour before, we'd be eating meat and drinking wine. That's very, very important to kind of navigate the schedule this Shabbos. And even before we get to things on the sheet, what are some of the most awkward things that happen before the Shabbos, number one? So before the Shabbos even begins. So there is a tshuva of Rav Moshe that one is not allowed to feed their children meat during the 9 days, but what if you feed them meat early Shabbos? So what time do you feed Zevi Erev Shabbos? He stays up Friday night meal or no? Oh, so what I do with my kids is that they don't even make it to early Shabbos. By the time I come from shul, it's already too late for their day dinner, you know, 5:15. And then. Oh, so Rav Moshe says you can feed them meat. It's their Shabbos meal. It's not Shabbos at all. It's totally not Shabbos yet. It's well before Plag Mincha. But already on Erev Shabbos, early Shabbos is not controversial because it's Erev Shabbos, not Shabbos. But the Chiddush of Rav Moshe is that if you're feeding your kids the equivalent of their, you know, Shabbos meal, like, you know, when they're in their PJs and you give them their chicken nuggets and their grape juice at 5:30 p.m. on Friday afternoon, and you still haven't showered yet, hypothetically, you know, that is their Shabbos meal, and you could still feed them meat and grape juice this Friday. So it's awkward, right? And then they're even posting to speak about, well, when can you put your Shabbos clothes on? Yeah, I'm supposed to wear Shabbos clothing during the 9 days. So you have to, like, delay your Shabbos clothing. And everyone who's in Avelis in the week of Shiva has the Shaila. And then you get to Shul Friday night. It's like, is it okay to sing with Hadodi and Elitzion or not? Is that a public display of mourning or not? You know, and then you go home and it's a regular Shabbos. And then you get to Shabbos morning and it's a regular Shabbos. So, or is it? The first really awkward, you know, clash between Shabbos and the 9 days. On Shabbos proper, it's the famous machlok is about what? Do we wear Shabbos clothing this Shabbos? So we all wear Shabbos clothing this Shabbos, except for which community? The connected to our community? That's right. The only community that still holds by the Yekish Minhagim, the Breuers community in Washington Heights. They're still hardcore from German Ashkenazi Minhagim. They and Breuers do not wear Shabbos clothing to Shabbos. Why? What does the Ramah write? Tov kuf nun aleph sev aleph. Afilu b'Shabbos shel chazon, en machlifin levavosh big day Shabbos. Wow. So Alvin, imagine such a thing. Now, Alvin's a classy guy. Imagine you don't wear Shabbos clothing this Shabbos. Only hakatonis levad, and you know, the equivalent of your undergarments. Only that. Only that. Now, hand in hand, the Ramah then writes and says, no, yeah, so you're right. In when it comes to other contexts, it would be an overgarment, but in this context, it's referring to something that goes straight on the body. Yeah, it's a funny term. You're right. Aval porsin paroches shel Shabbos, but you can certainly put the regular paroches on the aron, unless Tisha B'Av proper falls out on Shabbos. So there it is.
Why only German Jews live in Krakow?
So the truth is, Stuart's absolutely correct. If we lived 100 years ago, 200 years ago, we probably would not be wearing Shabbos clothing this Shabbos.
That's what they did in Poland.
Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah says in Vilna, the minhag was like the Grah, to wear Shabbos clothing. So there it is. It's the Ramah versus the Grah. So if you lived in Vilna.
And also Rav Yaakov Emden, he was checking.
Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah then says, and also the Yesh Mishan and Beged Echad. So by the way, I can get away with this. Now I have two belts, one for Shabbos, one for weekday. So imagine me wearing Shabbos clothing with my weekday belt. Or I usually wear white shirts every day of the week, and at least when I teach TABC. But there's a subtle difference in my white shirts. I have a special design on my Shabbos. You know, they're like lines, whatever, a little fancier. But it's like microscopic. So technically, I could wear one of my weekday white shirts. It would still look very lechavot Shabbos. You know, I have Shabbos ties, weekday ties, Shabbos.
What does an avel do? Avel
Shabbos. Yeah. We could right. That's a great question, right? So seemingly,
because an avel does dibur for hesia.
Right, for hesia. So this is right. So Stuart's pointing out why this halacha is so extreme is that we don't do anything as a public display of mourning except for this. And by the way, that's exactly why it got shot down. So the second, so midnight number one was like a public display of mourning, and the question begs itself, we don't do that. Midnight number two is don't wear weekday clothing, but pick one garment to be weekday-like. And then Rav Yaakov Emden is quoting his father, the Chacham Tzvi, that you need to wear Big Day Shabbos. Even if the ninth of Av falls out on Saturday, not this year, this year.
Next year.
Yeah, next year is like that. So the ninth of Av is Sunday this year. But even in a year where Tisha B'Av were to fall out on Shabbos, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, according to his father, no. We wear Shabbos clothing on Shabbos, and that is what we do everywhere except for Breuer. So Breuer is the only last man standing because of their loyalty to Ashkenazi Minhagim. But again, it's not Ashkenazi in the traditional sense. We're talking about literal Ashkenaz, you know, German Jews. So that's a fascinating machlokas, and it speaks to this larger clash between the time that we're experiencing. It's Shabbos Kodesh. So we said, well, we're specifically getting Musa from Moshe Rabbeinu as very intentional Erev Tisha B'Av stuff. That's the goal. And we're also maybe not wearing the same degree of clothing. You know, again, seemingly we don't posture like that. But you wear Shabbos clothing, maybe you switch one garment, but at least speaks to the awkwardness, at least.
To differentiate
between
Avelis for Parhesia of a Yachid and Avelis of a Tibur.
And that would allow, you're saying,
that would allow, especially on Shabbos
Tisha B'Av. Right, so AB's pointing out, since it's a communal mourning, it's not as bad, maybe, to have, because the whole community's in it together. The whole community's in it together. It's a very nice idea. All right, now, what gets started? So let's imagine, though, wearing Shabbos, fooling the Shabbos, and, you know, Chadodi was an elite Zion, but, you know, it's appropriate, and a little bit of muster doesn't really hurt too much. It's just more inspiring than anything. But then you get to Shabbos afternoon. So Chatzos is around 1:02 p.m., and what's the Ramaz Psak? Tafnuf Nun Gafkov Nugim Obeys. Venagushalil Mod Erev Tisha B'Av Mechatzos Ve'elach. And every year given, Erev Tisha B'Av has a status in Halacha. Erev Tisha B'Av, after midday, one may not study Torah, except for the things that you can study on Tisha B'Av proper. Velachain, and the Ramaz concludes. Velachain Imchal B'Shabbos in Omrim Pirkei Avos. What an amazing thing. So imagine that on Shabbos afternoon, not learning Pirkei Avos. So this happened, by the way, every year awkwardly in Entzis Vakol. Rav Shechter's on Entzis Vakol, and Rav Savlovsky's on Entzis Vakol. Rav Shechter holds like this Ramah. And forget Shabbos for a second. And any given year, he would leave the Beis Medrash. And my rabbi, who I grew up with, Rav Shlomo Hochberg Shlita, so he was the Rav of the Younger Israel of the Jamaican States for around 30 years. He was also always in Israel in the summers, and he would always meet with Rav Shechter to discuss Pisgei Halacha. What did Rav Shechter always tell him? Please come visit me on Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon. Why did Rav Shechter say that? Because Rav Shechter said, listen, that's the only time, like ever, that I'm not going to be learning. So he told the Be'achavah, meet with me on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. I.e., for Rav Shechter, just to give another rabbi some Pisgei Halacha, that's not quote-unquote learning for Rav Shechter, that's just Rav Shechter answering quick shaylos. So Rabbi Hochberg was advised from Rav Shechter to specifically visit him on Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Wild. But it was a little awkward. No. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. That minhag is much less common. But maybe. I don't know. I don't have a hand-on experience in that one. But again, already in the Mishnah Berurah course, the Taz, the things come on. You're not going to learn. And there's a whole rant. I think it's from the Maamar Mordechai about people who just waste their time. It's the Maamar Mordechai. Yeah. And then he writes, certainly... here he writes, Taz number one disagrees with this whole thing, and he says that on Shabbos afternoon you should learn. Come on, Shabbos afternoon, you're not going to lose out on your schar if you learn Shabbos afternoon. And Kachavin, and since we had always learned an Erev Tisha B'Av, because that was what Savlovsky did. If Shechter kind of, you know, left the basic midrash, especially on Shabbos, we weren't going to cancel Chaburas.
I would venture to say that,
yeah.
Situation of Kolahan Vahalahu. Maybe the people have shut there in the yeshiva, which is one of the serious learning people. If they don't do that, then maybe they will learn some of those things.
Very good.
But there are a lot of people, like the Mordechai is concerned about, it's just going to be, you know, Fiddle Torah and they're going to be doing all kinds of other things, maybe not even appropriate for Shabbos.
Very good. That's a very, that's exactly, yeah, everyone would agree to that. Right?
So that's maybe one thing. Very the whole thing sounds very schwer, I'll be very honest.
Because,
you know, you're not being knowing any other kind of avelos kimat, right? Okay, with the clothing, with the Ramah, okay, I guess that's consistent with his view.
Right.
But the Zman HaZeh, well, you're not being knowing any other avelos.
Steward, the camera, okay, yeah, you're on TV, yeah.
Whatsoever, no kind of avelos whatsoever. But this gospel, when it comes to learning,
right.
That's
right.
Very schwer. That's very schwer.
Right, right. So it's a very good question. So it speaks to the orchestra. So again, practically speaking, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins against the Ramah here, holds like the Taz and says, "Venir deish lismoch al zeh." You should rely on the Kula here to learn an Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. Dafilu kishachal b'chol, even if it wasn't Shabbos, kama achor nemikil. Certainly this year, where it's Shabbos Kodesh, you should absolutely
what
learn.
What else are you going to do?
Okay.
And if you really very good. From 1 o'clock, it's a long Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
else are you going to do?
Yeah, so I'll tell you.
Are you going to learn the yoke?
Right. So a number, yeah, it depends on your specific. Yeah, Stuart's pointing out that depends who you are.
The wave doesn't do Shabbos after that. Because
you can't learn.
You can't learn Ksuvin. No, but the Rav was making that for Chatzos. The Rav was making it. He thought that the Isra to learn Ksuvin was only in the morning. Yeah, the Chasam Sofer, Adam's alluding to here. There's a wild it is. Do you know why it's usher to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon? Because you're going to be so engrossed in the learning, and undoubtedly it will stay in your mind, and you'll still be thinking about what you were learning in Erev Tisha B'Av, and it will gladden your heart on Tisha B'Av night.
Well, that's consistent with Rav Herschel Schechter doing Piskei Halacha.
Right.
Straight away, and it won't be Nimshah.
Right, but just to appreciate the godless of the Chasam Sofer. I mean, obviously, if you have a geschmack from learning Torah, it's going to linger. You know, like you have a good experience, you know, you catch a good ball game, and it's like the moment sticks with you. So it's like if you learn a good sugya, it's not going away. So, okay, so now the question begs itself now, what about in Shomrei Torah this coming Shabbos? We generally have a shiur after Mincha. What are we going to cancel the shiur?
No, learn something.
So the Klausenberger Rebbe, by the way, himself is a big figure for Tisha B'Av, a Holocaust survivor who lost 11 children.
His wife
in the Holocaust, and he himself, by the way, was a pillar of Emunah in the concentration camps, number one during the Holocaust, and even more after the Holocaust. And Lieutenant Birnbaum, I was quoting right and left before COVID, is a vidur that the Klausenberger Rebbe said in whatever camp they were in, and he went through the Ashamnus as a survivor. But people who lost their bitachon, and that's the way that the tshuva. Unspeakable madrigas that we have to ask Hashem for forgiveness that we gave up hope and we lost our faith in the darkest time. Wow, the guy lost 11 children. And he was giving mussar to people who lost their money.
He also said by the tshuva.
Yeah.
Wanted to be the lower. He says heifer. Raise your voice. Yeah.
Wow.
He didn't let him read it.
Wow. Talking about a hero of Enid on many levels. All right, so here's the Shailish Truba's Divrei Yatziv. So he writes like this. Okay, even if you want to hold that it's forbidden to learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon, they would agree that you don't cancel a shir. Why? Because by canceling a shir, what's that called? That would be Avelis Tefarhesia. That would be a public display of mourning. He says, Aval Benidon Didon. He says in the yeshiva, imagine if they were to cancel afternoon seder. Im nesor halimur lefnei ha-yeshiva, eim lecha avelus befarhesya gedola mizu. That's what he paskins. He says, are you joking? You're going to tell the whole yeshiva to cancel afternoon seder? There's no greater display of mourning because you're specifically changing the schedule. Because that's asar on Shabbos. And he quotes to the Bechor Shur, says, he says, what do you mean if you normally invite guests for Shabbos Shuddish, you can't not invite guests. I mean, you have to keep the normal thing. And he says, even when the Ramah said, don't learn Pirkei Avos, that's pretty compelling riot against him. He says, no. He's only talking about congregations which learn Pirkei Avos as individuals. But he argues, somewhat of a chiddush, that if a shul learns Pirkei Avos as a chabura, as a group, they are not allowed to cancel their public learning in this Shabbos.
What is this?
So that is a fascinating idea. And therefore, seemingly, we should not cancel the shir this Shabbos after Mincha. But the only thing is that after Mincha is no longer Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon. It's like after Shkir. So there's a difference between like 4 o'clock and 8:30. Right, so you want to learn Pirkei Avos at 4:30 in the afternoon. You don't want to cancel the Pirkei Avos class. Okay, you know, it's a Yidav Mincha, have Pirkei Avos, go home and eat a nice festive shalosh shudas, that's fine. But Shkia's at like 8:25, right? Or fast starts at 8:19 or something. And then Mandelstam is like getting up there and teaching Torah. So let's really hammer out the awkwardness here. It says the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf Kufn and Beis Yud. Imchal Tisha B'Av Be'echa B'Shabbos. What's the halacha? Ochal Baster V'Shos Ha'Yayin B'Suda Ha'Mafsekes. U'malav Ashulchan Afil G'Shud Ha'Shlomo Be'ez Malchusa. Shalosh Shudas the Shabbos can be Baster V'Yayin. And you can have all the food you want.
But don't learn Torah.
right. So Stuart's pointing out.
I understand. That's
like right, very good.
Right?
Very good. Very
so
good. Right, very good. Very good. So clearly Stuart's pointing out that there is no Avelis. But what's the most important halacha? You can't eat after Shkia. Shkia is a hard deadline. The fast day begins when the sun goes down. Sun sets, you're not allowed to eat. Okay, there's even a machlokas about benching. Elmar Machmer to even complete benching. Or Shkia, that's a machlokas. So now we have our first real deadline. You can't eat after Shkia. What else can't you do after Shkia? What if I go to the bathroom? Can I wash my hands past my knuckles? What kind of shoes am I allowed to wear after Shkia?
I think you change your shoes at
bar. Okay, so that's the famous age-old minhag. Let's see what it is. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Umutter berachitza visicha une'ilas asanda ad ben ashmashos. So wait a minute. On a regular year, you would only have until sunset. On a regular year where it's not Motzei Shabbos, come Shkia, and all of the halachas of Tisha B'Av are in effect immediately. But there's one difference. You start speaking about taking off your shoes by Maariv.
Why wouldn't you take off your shoes before Maariv? You're forgetting Tisha Shabbos.
But it's not Shabbos. He's not talking about Shabbos here. In the same line, the Ramah's... No, forget Shabbos. Imagine if Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday. So Monday night comes.
You don't take off your shoes by...
The Ramah starts to write. He starts writing over here. He's not doing anything. He says, oh, no, now he's... I'm sorry. He's talking about Shabbos. He says, wait till after Baruch Hu. Wait till after Baruch Hu. So you know what the Mishnah Berurah says? He's talking about people who used to daven Maariv early.
Like we used to during.
They used to daven Maariv at Plag. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's Chiddush. But I want to highlight, now we have a real halachic awkward reality that we have to kind of navigate right now. What does the halacha demand of us starting at Shkia this Saturday? Is it Shabbos? Is it Tisha B'Av? So what's the rule of thumb? Do you know why you can't take off your shoes early? You have to wait till Baruch Hu? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Aser Lashum Siman Avelus. B'Shabbos. Meaning you can't have the Aser Lashum Siman Avelus B'Shabbos. Taking off your shoes would be a public display of mourning. Imagine that on Shabbos Kodesh, the entire shul taking off their Shabbos shoes. That's inappropriate. What would also be inappropriate? Seemingly sitting on the floor, right? Seemingly, here's where we have a concept that once Shkia arrives, it's not Tisha B'Av yet because you have to keep Shabbos in public. What about in private? Check out this Chai Adam. He says like this: Erev Tisha B'Av Shachal B'Shabbos, etc. Right. So obviously you can't eat anything once Shkia comes. And then he says, by the way, at Shalosh Shudas you should have a somber mood. And once the sun sets, Asur ba'achila v'shtia v'rechitza bein hashmashos. What did he add there? That was a chiddush there. He said, once the sun sets, you can't wash your hands. Now, why does that make sense? Because where do you wash your hands? In private, right? If you go to the bathroom, no one's watching you, whether you're washing up to your knuckles or to your wrist. So he argues with Chai Adam that once the sun sets, only wash to your knuckles, yeah.
Because let's say I want to eat shalosh shudas early before sunset. I can do that.
Of course.
Regular year.
Yeah.
So it's not nicker that the reason that I'm eating shalosh shud is I'm not eating after shkia is because I want to, because of avelos. But if I keep not have shoes, then it's definitely nicker that it's
of course. Yeah, but what about washing? The chayadim though.
So fine, I don't wash my hands. I don't have. There's no reason.
There's no reason to wash past the knuckle. So you're saying that taking off your shoes is a public display of mourning? Not okay. Until it gets dark. Whoa, so how do the chayadim understand the halacha there? That's a pretty big chiddush, right? So you keep your Shabbos shoes on all the way until what? Until tzeis hakochavim. So why is that allowed? Meaning, you understand the idea over here that you have a real display of Shabbos all the way until dark? What would you say? What about tzeis hakochavim, though? Let's say I'm giving the shiur of the Shabbos. We don't want to cancel it because that would be a public display of mourning, right? And we're all sitting where? On chairs, right? And we're all wearing our Shabbos shoes, right? When do we have to acknowledge Tisha B'Av's entrance? What if we go past 40 minutes after shiur? What if we go late and what if I speak overtime? By the way, it's going to be a late Marv this week. We want to give people enough time to say Baruch HaMavdil and drive to shul. Shabbos is over at some time. And Marv's not until like 25 minutes later.
Yeah, but that in a normal week, that's still you're still continuing kedusha Shabbos.
Oh.
But in a sense, you are I wouldn't say pogam in the avelos, but you're not mekayim the avelos by extending Shabbos into it.
Okay, there it is. So nicely put by AB. So there is a sefer right by Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Shut Shalmas Chaim, and he explains. He wants to say, what is the deal with people that's not keeping Tisha B'Av? And one time I was in a shul where the rabbi was given his regular shir between mincha marv. He did not stop. And I went to the shul for Eicha. I was not there for mincha. I went for Eicha. I arrived, I guess, in my Tisha B'Av shoes and all. And he was still going. It was like Shabbos for him and Tisha B'Av for me. And what's pshat? It's a little bit of a funny thing.
Says, you know what it says?
Yeah.
Their says was different than
yeah,
yours.
They
say someone shall should have elongated into the dark of night.
It is.
What do they say? They say retay, right?
Yeah, of course. It says the Rios of Chaim Zonnenfeld, when it comes to taking off your shoes, as long as you have not yet said Baruchu, you don't take off your shoes because of Tosefa Shabbos. As long as you're still practicing Shabbos, taking off your shoes would be a display of mourning publicly, and it would be inappropriate. So that's seemingly what we're going to be doing. Anyone who's in the room seemingly with me this coming Shabbos, we're going to be learning Torah, maybe more somber teachings, but with our Shabbos shoes on and sitting in chairs. And Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld would argue that we could go all the way to Baruch Hu. But who disagrees? Who disagrees? Well, I think it'd be a little bit different. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, no. Chal Tisha B'Av, B'motzei Shabbos, etc. Yesh Leho wrote, Lifshot Bigdei Shabbos V'Lachlot Haminalim Chatzi Sha'al Achar Shkiyas Chan. You can't delay the entrance of Tisha B'Av. Okay, it's Shabbos for you, but whether you like it or not, the sun sets and the stars come out.
See, we don't do that. We don't take off Big Day Shabbos.
Oh, we don't. Yeah, we don't take off Big Day Shabbos. Yeah, yeah. I was kind of thinking about me like taking off my tie. Yeah, well, in general, as opposed to America, in Israel, they daven mincha earlier and they go home. They do their own thing, Shabbos. They come back from Arav Ezer. It's less communal in terms of the experience of that time of week. And they quote in the Dvar Halacha over there on Lichos Shlomo, he says, so, you know what, nowadays we don't daven Marv early anymore, like in the times of the Mishnah Berurah's explanation of the, in times of the Ramah. We daven Marv late. So you know what you have to do? You take off your Shabbos shoes immediately once Bein HaShmashos is over. There it is. What a machlokas. So whereas Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, you can keep your Shabbos shoes on until you say Baruch Hu, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, not so fast. Once it says a kochavim, that's Tisha B'Av. You can't dodge Tisha B'Av. And
it's not really Shabbos, even though you want to be most.
Right.
It's Tisha B'Av that takes preference on your halacha.
Yeah. So I want to kind of highlight these points to point out that when Bein HaShmashos comes, you can't eat, drink, and you can't wash your hands seemingly anymore. And that's a machlokas, but let's go with the chayyadim on this: that you can only wash your hands till the knuckle, and you're allowed to say hello to people because seemingly that would be avodas b'farhesia. You're not saying hello to somebody who's public. anything in public, you can't observe avelus. So you sit on a chair, you have your Shabbos shoes, and the question is, when do you switch gears? So seemingly, the mainstream psak is more in line with the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that once Spanish mushes is over, and it's nightfall proper, you got to kind of give a clap on the bima, which means we're going to probably say, Baruch HaMavdeh Ben Kodesh L'chol, here, we're going to get into our Tisha B'Av gear, and Mar will be like 20 minutes later. It'll be a little bit awkward. It'll be a little bit of lag time. Okay, so we'll try to have more of these questions. I know it's 9:29. If anyone has any practical questions, happy to field it, but it's important to appreciate this.
I think we changed, take our shoes off.
So it's important to appreciate this tension and the halacha where it is a regular Shabbos, but it's also kind of not a regular Shabbos. And we navigate these halachas very sensitively, certainly between Shkia and Tzitzik Kochavim. Hope this is a little bit eye-opening, educational.
What time is, what time is the time?
All right, my friends. All right.